In the name of Jesus, amen. In these after Easter days, our second reading has come from the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation tells us of what is yet to come. And it speaks of the promise of heaven, a new life that is given to us in Jesus. And it's in these after Easter days because Easter came, Easter went, and Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. But people are still dying. People are still dying. Death has not yet been destroyed. Death still has a certain power over us. And so the book of Revelation gives us a picture again and again and again of how it's going to look like at the very end. Because God doesn't want you to wonder or to be uncertain or to be unsure, but He wants you to know exactly how it ends when we come to the end of all time. The book of Revelation is a series of visions, and so you can't read it like you're reading a novel. You can't just start at the first chapter and read all the way through and think it's going to make sense. It's a series of vision, but it's a series of visions about the same thing, from our Lord's, the time of our Lord's ascension up until the end of all times. And the different visions give us different perspectives of that same time period. So it's kind of like seeing the same scene, but from different camera angles. This weekend and the next, we're jumping to the end of the book of Revelation. And here we hear some very vivid descriptions of heaven and what's happening there. Hear these words again. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." That's what is to come. God making all things new. I've got three objects here this morning, a little object lesson, and these three things have two things in common. So I'll be thinking about that. Three things that have two things in common. First thing, this is a trophy, can't all see this, but I'll try to describe it. It's a basketball trophy. And it says YMCA Church League Champs, Trinity Lutheran, 1935 and 36. So that goes back a bit. 87, 88 years, something like that. All right. Remember, three things, they have two things in common. Book is out of my library, and it's a short commentary in the book of Revelation. We'll look at the copyright date, 1957, about 65 years old. That's item number two. Item number three, I know you can't see this, but it's a picture. And it's a group of picture, and it's a group of people, and they're standing around a sign. And the sign says, "A future site of the Trinity Lutheran Church." And they're standing right where you're sitting. In other words, this is a picture of this building site before there was any building here. And there's a date on the back of the picture, October 7th, 1951. I'm thinking all the adults in this picture are with Jesus, but there are some young people in here that they would be up in years, but possibly they're still alive. But yeah, okay, so we've got a trophy, a book, and a picture. Three objects, two things in common. What's the first thing they have in common? They're all old. Well, yeah, that too. They all have to do with Jesus and Holy Trinity, but they're all old. They're all old. Old trophy, old book, old picture. What's the second thing they all have in common? At one time, they were all new. At one time, they were all new. At one time, this was a bright, shiny trophy. And the young men that won it, they probably passed it around and said, "Hey, look at the trophy we won." Now it's kind of gray and dingy looking. We're like, "Man, that's an old trophy." But at one time, it was brand new. And the young men who won it were excited that they won the trophy. They were the champs. This book smells kind of dusty. It's because it's an old book. You know what a new book smells like? A new book has that new book smell. And the binding's tight, and you know it's kind of fun to open up a new book. This book used to be that way. Now it's an old book. This picture, that's an old picture. Well, at one time it was a brand new picture. And people were saying, "Hey, look at me in that picture. Look at my hair, looks nice. Look what we are wearing, we look pretty good." And people passed around that picture like, "That's where our church is going to be, our new church is going to be." This at one time was a brand new picture. Everything that at one time or is currently old was at one time new, brand new. And we like new, which is kind of interesting to think about. We'll get to that, why we like new things. It's just kind of odd when you think about it. What's the attraction to new things? But we like new shoes, we like new clothing, we like a new tool for our workshop, we like new furniture. We're going to get new carpet in here this summer. That's going to be exciting. We like new carpet. We like having new experiences, going to a new restaurant, going to a new place. We celebrate newness when a couple gets married. That's a new couple, and we celebrate that, a new husband, a new wife. And then when that couple has a baby, we celebrate that new life because there's a baby born into the world. It's celebrated because it's new. But newness wears off, whether it's things or it's people. Both things and people, they get old, they wear out, and they break down. That new car that we were so proud of gets old, gets dinged up, gets a scratch. The new carpet, this used to be new 40 years ago, gets worn. The new clothes that we were so thrilled about not that long ago, they end up on the garage sale table or maybe simply just given away. Even with marriage. That couple that were so excited on their wedding day, the newness of husband and wife, well, it wears off and the couple settles into the routines of marriage, and before long, she's the old ball and chain or the old lady and he's the lazy bum. And even the new baby, the novelty of a new baby wears off because babies grow up to be children who talk back and have temper tantrums and don't want to help around the house. So whether it's a thing or a person, the newness wears off. The thrill subsides. The shine loses its luster. The toy gets left in the corner gathering dust. So what do? We crave for something else new. And the cycle continues. It's kind of twisted when you think about it. The book of Ecclesiastes gives voice to this. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. That's what it means to live in a sinful world. Things wear out, break down, and get old. Both things and people. It's all disordered. It's been twisted, out of place. And it's all a result of disobedience, ours as individuals and ours collectively as people. And it affects everything. It even affects all creation. Paul says that all creation is longing for that day when God comes again and restores His creation, redeems it from bondage to corruption. Paul said the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. You know, what's the number one cause of pollution? It's people. What's the number one cause of extinction among animals? It's people. What's the number one reason of, you know, there's even junk up in outer space floating around out there. Who does that? We do that. We not only contaminate our own planet, we contaminate outer space. So what does God do? He sends His Son for sinful people like you and me. He brings us forgiveness for our sins. And He actually offers us a peace for our longing for newness that is found in Jesus. And that's why God says He's making all things new. And He says He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. He's going to start over, basically, because everything in this world and even that in the atmosphere has been contaminated by sin. So He has to get rid of all of that, start over, and then everything will be new. But He's already begun that process, and He's begun it with you. Not by giving you a new outward appearance, by giving you a new heart, by giving you peace with God, by forgiving you all your sins. He starts at the inside and works outside. And yes, you still have that craving for new things, but you'll never find that security in the things of this world, because that's not what you were made for. You're made for God and for the creation He made, which was originally without sin. And so when we look for our peace, our security in the things of this world, you might seem like you got it for a while, but it doesn't last. God is going to give you that newness which lasts, because He is making all things new. And that is yours. That promise is yours because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, that certainty of heaven and eternal life is yours in Christ. And He gives it to you as a gift. If it's a gift, it's neither earned nor deserved. It's simply given. God gives it to you as a gift. So when you have a longing for new things, it's just kind of that residual longing for heaven, which God will one day ultimately satisfy once and for all. Rejoice in His promises which never fail. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.